Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Thursday, November 1st. Coming up this hour,
the pound strengthens after reports of a Brexit deal on financial services companies.
Shares of Credit Suisse slump after disappointing results from its global markets business.
And stocks in China gain as officials signal further stimulus for the economy.
President Trump has doubled down on his vow to end birthright citizenship, plus Indonesian search teams have found the black box of the Lion Air plane that crashed Monday. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower on sports. A loss for the Knicks, an overtime win for the Nets. Brett Gardner re-signed with the Yankees, and Hall of Famer Willie McCovey has passed away.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And a data check now from the Bloomberg U.S. Futures. European stocks higher after gains in Asia. It is now 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets for you every 15 minutes throughout the trading day right here on Bloomberg. S&P futures are at 12 points higher. That's up 0.5%. The Dow futures up 121 points, up 0.5%. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures 27 points higher. That's up 0.4% this morning. We're seeing a dollar weakness across the board, mostly the euro right now, 113.80. That's up about 0.6% against the U.S. dollar. 10-year yield in the U.S., 3.16%. The price is down by 5/32 right now. NYMEX crude at $64.86 a barrel. That's down 0.7%. Down about to 47 cents a barrel. And spot gold is up 0.8% at $12.2450. And outs. And that is a Bloomberg data check. Nathan.
All right, John, you talk about dollar weakness this morning. The pound is strengthening following a Times of London report that says the UK and the European Union have a preliminary agreement that allows financial services companies to access the bloc after Brexit. Bloomberg Daybreak editor Richard McCauley has details.
The report from the Times says that Brexit negotiators have finalised a deal on services and on the exchange of data. It said British business will be able to access EU markets so long as British financial regulation remains broadly in step with EU rules. Also, the agreement is said to include a clause that states neither side would unilaterally deny market access without first going through independent arbitration.
As we say, sterling is strengthening on that report, currently trading at $1.2910.
And meanwhile, Nathan, Brexit is weighing on plans from the Bank of England. The central bank announces its latest policy decision at 8 a.m. Wall Street time. And Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the very latest. Seb, good morning.
Good morning, John and Nathan. The Bank of England likely to be sitting on its hands today because economists see no change to the benchmark rate and markets rapidly pushing back bets on the next move. The problem is a lack of certainty. Brexit talks still deadlocked, of course, and the March departure date looming ever closer. But officials are sticking to that line that limited and gradual hikes are needed in coming years. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thanks. Meantime, manufacturing growth in the UK last month slumped to the lowest level since the aftermath of the Brexit vote. A purchasing manager's index for the sector fell to 51.1 in October, well below economist estimates for a reading of 53. The slowdown follows a similarly dismal report for Euro area manufacturers earlier this month.
And in Asia today, the regional benchmark index gained for a third straight day. Stocks in China kicked off the month on a high note after officials signaled further stimulus for the economy. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports from Hong Kong.
This comes from a Politburo meeting chaired by President Xi Jinping. A statement says the nation's economic environment is changing and that downward pressure is increasing. This signal of urgency came right after China's weak PMI for October. Today, the Caixin Index had a modest beat. To date, though, officials have applied just modest support, avoiding the big bazooka of previous slowdowns. That may be about to change. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thanks. Let's turn to earnings now. Credit Suisse is reporting revenue and income that missed estimates due in part to the performance of its global markets business. Bloomberg's Danny Berger says the results signal that turnaround plans from Credit Suisse may be running out of steam.
Now, I mean, at one time, this was the best trading unit on all of Wall Street, but just in a show of how far it's come, it posted a surprise loss today, and the company's saying it's likely not to hit their full-year target. A lot of turnaround yet to go here.
And shares of Credit Suisse currently down 2% in Zurich.
And results from ING Group beat estimates. Net income fell. This is because of legal challenges related to money laundering. But ING also trimmed its cost-to-income ratio for the first time in six quarters. ING shares are up more than 5%.
Denmark's biggest bank reported income below estimates and said it's working hard to restore trust with customers and investors after finding itself at the center of a money laundering scandal. The firm says it may face material fines tied to criminal investigations in the U.S., Denmark, and Estonia. Still, investors like what they're hearing. Shares of Danske Bank right now are higher by more than 4%.
And revenue for BT Group beat estimates. The former telecom monopoly is also forecasting earnings for the year at the upper end of its target to make strong results from its consumer business. Shares of BT, they're up more than 8% in London.
And here in the U.S., Apple leads more than three dozen companies in the S&P 500 reporting earnings today. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has a preview.
With iPhone shipments slowing, Apple has become more reliant on the average selling price of devices to drive expansion. Investors will be listening to the company's earnings call for any commentary on the new iPhone X line, which marks a big step up in price from earlier models. The new iPhones began shipping last week. Analysts estimate a 16% gain in revenue with solid growth in Apple services. Last quarter, Apple's high-margin services business rose 28%. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Charlie, we got a couple headlines just crossing the Bloomberg terminal. India and Korea now said to agree on the outline of an Iran oil waiver with the U.S. And this headline, Hudson Fund has reportedly taken a 3.1% stake in Deutsche Bank. That is according to the Wall Street Journal, John.
And ahead of the market open on Wall Street futures, Nathan, pointing to a higher open S&P futures right now, up 12 points. The Dow futures up 127. And the NASDAQ E-mini futures right now, they are up 28 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
6:07 now on Wall Street. John, a lot going on this morning. See what else is going on with Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Donald Trump says the number of military troops deployed to the U.S.-Mexican border could go as high as 15,000. President Trump says the move would be aimed at preventing the entry of a caravan of migrants traveling from Central America. The caravan is moving on foot and still nearly 1,000 miles from the border. President Trump doubled down on attacking birthright citizenship. At a rally in Florida last night, the president says no sane country would grant birthright.
Under this policy, anyone who breaks into our country and has a child, the very next moment, that child would be made a citizen for life. Great. This policy has even created an entire industry of birth tourism, big business, where pregnant mothers travel to America to make their children instant American citizens.
Estero, Florida was the first stop of a six-day tour that will see the president hold rallies in eight states before Tuesday's midterm elections. Democrats are hoping to win control of at least one chamber of Congress. Former Vice President Joe Biden campaigned yesterday in St. Charles, Illinois, for Democratic congressional candidate Lauren Underwood. The former vice president remarked on the tone emanating from the current White House.
And it's on our leaders to set the tone, to dial the temperature down, to restore some dignity to our national dialogue.
Biden also encouraged voters to head to the polls early. Indonesian divers have recovered a flight data recorder from the crashed Lion Air jet on the Java Sea floor. Bloomberg's Carlos Salna has more from Jakarta.
Finding the so-called black boxes, or flight data recorders, is a crucial step in learning what brought down the plane. The Boeing 737 crashed Monday shortly after takeoff. It had reported technical issues during a trip from Bali to Jakarta the day before, and one area of inquiry now is whether inaccurate altitude or speed readings led to the crash. No survivors have been found. In Jakarta, Carlos Salna, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks so much. 6:09 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, Knicks and Pacers at the Garden. Tight game, but Indiana's all-star Victor Oladipo took over in the fourth quarter. And he scored 11 of his 24 points. The Pacers won 107-101. Dante Sabonis scored 30 on 12-for-12 shooting. Tim Hardaway continues to pour in the points for the Knicks. He had 37. At Barclays, Nets and Pistons, Brooklyn came from behind. Spencer Dinwiddie's three-pointer forced overtime, where he was the hero again.
Nets to the ball. Down two. Shot clock is off. 14 seconds to go. In overtime. Crowd rising. Dinwiddie out of the right wing. Gets a pick up by Drummond. Elevates on a three, and it's gone! Nets grab a one-point lead.
Nets radio had it. They beat the Pistons 120-119. All 25 of Dinwiddie's points came after halftime. Joe Harris had a 23. The two team for 9 three-pointers. Warriors made it 6 wins in a row over New Orleans. Steph Curry had 37. And Minnesota's win over Utah. One-time Nick, one-time NBA MVP Derrick Rose turned back the clock. He scored 50 points. MLS playoffs, NYCFC beat Philadelphia 3-1 to advance to play Atlanta. University of Maryland Board of Regents investigating football coach DJ Durkin's role in the death of freshman lineman Jordan McNair due to heat stroke said just a couple days ago that Durkin can return to his job, but protests followed, and even members of the team forced the school to change its mind. Durkin has been fired. Brett Gardner staying put, current Yankee with the longest service on the team, re-signed 1 year, $7.5 million. Hall of Famer Willie McCovey has died at the age of 80, a beloved San Francisco Giant. He was the NL's Rookie of the Year in 1959, the MVP a decade later. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
And, John, this Sunday, as about 50,000 people run the New York City Marathon on the streets, 500 more will be taking part in a virtual marathon that the New York Road Runners Organization is putting on for the first time this year. Each registrant paid $100 to run in 28 countries and 39 states. And once they finish those 26.2 miles, logged through an app, the runners will earn a real medal and a spot in the 2019 New York City Marathon. This is Daybreak. Brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. If you're a family-owned or privately held company looking for tax savings and to grow your business, team up with the professionals at Burden. Visit burdenllp.com/radio.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm John Tucker in the Bloomberg Newsroom with this Bloomberg Business Flash. This on a day when futures, for the moment, pointing to a higher open on Wall Street. We have the S&P futures 11 points higher. That's up 0.4%. The Dow futures are up 119 points. That's up about 0.5%, and the Nasdaq E-mini futures 24 points higher, up about 0.4%. The stocks are adding to gains today. Upbeat earnings helped investors turn the page on the worst month for global equities in more than 6 years. We also, as we told you earlier, cable jumping on hopes for progress in the Brexit negotiations. And the dollar weakening, looks like a dollar weakness across the board this morning. The exception being the Japanese yen, slightly stronger against the dollar, 112.98. The euro, 113.73. That's up 0.5%. And British pound sterling at 128.64. That is up about 0.75%, but pairing some of the earlier gains this morning. The yield on the benchmark 10-year note in the U.S., 3.15%. as the price decreases by 4/32nds. And Brent crude, that is lower this morning, down about 0.9 at 74.36. The NYMEX crude, this is West Texas, down 48 cents a barrel at 64.84. Again, we check the markets every 15 minutes during the trade today, right here on Bloomberg Radio. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, let's check in with Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you, John. President Donald Trump says the number of military troops deployed to the U.S.-Mexican border could increase. President Trump told reporters that it will go up to anywhere between 10 and 15,000 military personnel on top of Border Patrol, ICE, and everybody else at the border. Trump wants to stop the entry of a caravan of migrants traveling from Central America. The suspect in the Pittsburgh synagogue massacre is expected to make another brief appearance in federal court today. Robert Bowers will be arraigned on a 44-count indictment on charges including murder, hate crimes, and obstructing in the practice of religion. In sports in the NBA, the Knicks lost The Nets won along with the Warriors. Thursday night football, the 49ers host the Raiders. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence. Valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
And it is 6:20 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios on Bloomberg Daybreak, joined by John Butler, senior telecom analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence, as we look ahead to the release of Apple's fourth quarter earnings later on this afternoon. And John, this will be our first read on how Apple's newest iPhones are doing.
Morning, Nathan. And yes, that is definitely going to be a big focus for me and everyone else on the call is, you know, how are the new phones doing? What's interesting to me this year is all the new devices are based on the iPhone X, which really is a next-generation platform for the iPhone. So I think this quarter, more than last, really is going to give us a sense of how consumers are voting on that new platform. But I expect good things.
Okay. Good things on the higher-priced end for iPhone or lower-priced, do you think?
Well, actually, that's what's interesting about where we are now with Apple. In the past, it used to be, you know, very high unit sales during a quarter would really drive iPhone revenue. And if you look deeply at what's going on with iPhone sales, the units aren't driving the revenue there. It really is a rise in the average price of the phone. So even with the lower priced XR that came out just a couple of weeks ago, you know, the average price of that phone compared to just a couple of years ago is much higher. So that's where Apple is now making its money in the iPhone.
Yeah, so you don't think like iPhone X, those four-figure devices, are going to take off quite as much as the more affordable models?
Well, they're not really driving the unit sales there. They're making the money on the price. It is a popular device. You know, Apple goes into any refresh cycle with expectations, a sense of how the new phones are going to sell. And they've been very vocal about how the 10 last year, at least, really exceeded their expectations and sold in quite well in developed markets like the U.S. and Western Europe.
And I got to think, John, that you're going to be keeping a pretty close eye on the forward guidance heading into the holiday season to see whether device growth is still something that Apple is pinning its future hopes for growth on.
Yeah, they do. They do need some volume, to be clear. You know, they really do need successes. And, you know, my hope is that the latest phones are going to be a success. The XS, XS Max and the XR, sorry, I had trouble getting that out. all three new phones, I think, are going to sell very well. The holiday season is the biggest season for smartphones, and the forward guidance is always a focus. I think with the China issues out there now, they're going to be a particular focus this quarter. So we'll see what happens.
Well, what about other aspects of Apple's business, things like Apple Music or Apple TV or digital ad revenue?
So that, I would say, if I have a singular focus for them or the area of highest focus for me is how they're doing in that services business. You know, the iPhone is not going to drive this bus forever. They really do need a new growth engine. And in my mind, that new growth engine is going to be the services business. It's rapidly growing to headed for 20% of revenue and a higher percent of profits. And really, when you think about it, they have this huge installed device base out there. And so services represent a great and high profit opportunity to really capitalize on that. So we'll see how they do there. But Apple Music is one of several services they're pushing, and they're even migrating to more of a subscription model, with Apple Music being a great example of that.
John Butler, senior telecom analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. Again, the earnings out at 4:30 Wall Street time after the bell. Thanks for joining us. Bloomberg Intelligence provides unique real-time research and context on industries and all the market and government fact that impact business. Our terminal customers can access this function at BI Go. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Audi. Visit your tri-state Audi dealer during the Season of Audi sales event for exclusive offers on select models, or go to AudiOffers.com for more information. This is Bloomberg. Good Thursday morning.
Broadcasting live from the Interactive Brokers Studio in New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And good morning, 6:30 on Wall Street. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are higher as we begin the new trading month. Despite the S&P 500's biggest two-day surge since February, October was the worst month for global stocks in more than 6 years.
And sterling is rising following a Times of London report that says the UK and European negotiators have reached a tentative agreement that would give British financial services companies continued access to European markets after Brexit. Right now, we have a cable trading at 128.71. That is up 0.8% against the dollar.
And the Bank of England makes a policy decision this morning. No change in interest rates forecast.
On the earnings front, shares of Credit Suisse are down more than 2%. Revenue and net income missed estimates in the third quarter.
Shares of ING Group are up more than 5%. The bank trimmed its cost-to-income ratio for the first time in 6 quarters.
And shares of BT up more than 8%. The former telecom monopoly forecasts full-year earnings at the upper end of its target.
Shares of Royal Dutch Shell are down 1.5%. Profit fell short of estimates.
Here in the U.S., automakers released their October sales this morning. Let's get a preview from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
Auto sales could turn negative for the year as plunging demand for passenger cars and costlier loans wipe out a stronger-than-expected start to 2018. Sales probably slowed to an annualized rate of about 17.3 million in October, compared with 17.9 million a year earlier, with analysts expecting Nissan, General Motors, and Ford to lead declines among the biggest automakers. Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. We have a deal this morning. Encana is buying Newfield Exploration for $5.5 billion. The acquisition will create North America's second largest producer of unconventional resources. 6:32 now on Wall Street. Time for the Volatility Index report. The VIX fell yesterday to close at 21.23. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently at 20.33. That's this morning's Volatility Report, John.
And Nathan, ahead of the market open on Wall Street, we have S&P futures 12 points higher. That's up 0.5%. The Dow futures 124 points higher. That's up 0.5%. The Nasdaq E-mini futures 30 points. That's up 0.4%. The Euro 113.70. That's up 0.5% against the U.S. dollar. Japanese yen, the exception this morning, just slightly weaker against the dollar. 112.98, and we have the 10-year yield of the U.S. 3.16% as the price declines by 4/32. And just ahead, world and national news. You're listening to Bloomberg.
Thank you, John. It is now 6:33 on Wall Street. The news update is brought to you by the New York Community Trust, where donors like you help them make New York better, helping you become better informed on what's happening around the world. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Nathan, thank you very much. President Trump is doubling down on ending birthright citizenship. Speaking at a rally in Estero, Florida last night, President Trump vowed to end the right to citizenship for babies born to non-U.S. citizens on American soil, even though several scholars and lawmakers say he cannot.
Congress has never passed a law requiring birthright citizenship for illegal aliens, and the Constitution does not, I say that to the media, does not require it. Read it. Because illegal aliens are not subject to the jurisdiction of the United States.
The event in Estero was the first of 11 rallies to be held up to Election Day. President Trump says he might send even more American military personnel to the U.S. border with Mexico to guard against what he calls very bad people among a caravan of asylum-seeking Central American migrants. Bloomberg's Bob Moon has details.
5,200 active-duty troops from 10 states are being dispatched to the Mexican border and housed in over a dozen military bases and installations in California, Arizona, and Texas. They're joining 2,100 National Guard members already helping at the border. President Trump tells reporters the number could go higher.
We'll go up to anywhere between 10 and 15,000 military personnel on top of Border Patrol, ICE, and everybody else at the border.
Defense Secretary James Mattis rejects accusations it's a political stunt ahead of the midterm elections.
We don't do stunts in this department.
Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
India and South Korea agreed with the U.S. on the outline of deals that would allow them to keep importing some Iranian oil. According to Asian officials with knowledge of the matter, no final decision has been made, and an announcement is unlikely before U.S. sanctions on Iran are reimposed on Monday. There are sharp words from North Korea's leader aimed at the U.S. Bloomberg's Peter Pei has more from Seoul.
North Korea's Kim Jong-un lashed out at the sanctions imposed on his country, describing them as vicious and standing in the way of his people's well-being. It was the most blunt criticism of the sanctions restricting flow of goods and capital to his country and reflected latest sign of his frustration with the pace of peace talks with President Trump, who has maintained that sanctions won't be lifted until Kim gives up his nuclear weapons. In Seoul, Peter Pei, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, Knicks have played 8 games this season, only once in Miami when they lost by 23. Have they been blown out? Last night at the Garden, another game where they could have won but didn't. Indiana pulled it out, 107-101. Dante Sabonis, 30 points in just 21 minutes for the Pacers. Tim Hardaway continues to play like an all-star for the Knicks. 37 points, he hit 7 threes, but it came in another loss.
It's got to come a point in time where we got to buckle down and you know, close these games out, especially when we have a 4-point lead with like 3-4 minutes left to go in the game. So with that being said, you know, just got to move on, learn from it. We know what we have to do as a ball club. We just got to go out there and execute it.
The Nets coming off a loss to the Knicks, their third loss in a row, came from behind, won a thriller over the Pistons at Barclays, 120-119 in overtime. Spencer Dinwiddie, 25 points. He had the game tying 3 in regulation, the game winner in OT. Warriors won their 6th in a row. Lakers, 1-point win over Dallas. LeBron James, the game-winning free throw. In Minnesota's win over Utah, Derrick Rose scored 50 points, a career high. That's more than he had in his MVP season 8 years ago. NYCFC advances in the MLS playoffs, 3-1 win over Philadelphia. Maryland fired football coach DJ Durkin just days after reinstating him following an investigation into the death due to heat stroke of freshman lineman Jordan McNair. Many protested the decision, including members of the team, and the school changed its mind. Brett Gardner, a Yankee since his rookie season in 08, has re-signed for 1 year, $7.5 million. Willie McCovey has died at the age of 80. The Hall of Famer hit 521 home runs, mostly with the San Francisco Giants. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
John, thanks very much. It is 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
As the U.S. population skews ever older, the number of people stricken with dementia steadily rises. This, in turn, stands to boost the number of injuries and deaths caused by firearms. Yet older Americans are especially likely to be gun owners. Since 2012 nationwide, firearms have been used in at least 15 homicides related to dementia and more than 95 suicides. Addressing the problem will require cultural adaptation and clear legal parameters. Doctors and caregivers need to be prepared to discuss gun possession with patients and family members. It would help for more states to enact red flag laws, which enable family members or law enforcement to petition a court to temporarily remove guns from a person who could be dangerous. Society must take steps to keep lethal weapons away from those who put themselves or others at risk. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Coming up on 6:39 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Boone.
Natural gas industry groups want the Energy Department to withdraw energy efficiency standards from the Obama era for certain gas furnaces and water heaters. The department is seeking public comments on the industry request to block the rules. The industry contends the proposed rules violate the Energy Policy and Conservation Act because the law prohibits an energy efficiency standard that would have the effect of eliminating a currently available technology. The new rules would make residential furnaces and commercial water heaters subject to higher energy efficiency standards, promoting technologies that condense water out of flue gases to recoup heat. They could save consumers billions of dollars over a 30-year time frame, $22 billion for consumers buying newer furnaces and $6 billion for users of the water heaters. The American Council for an Energy Efficient Economy defends the tighter standard, saying the gas industry is opposed to standards that save gas, and that's a shame. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. Coming up now on 640 on Wall Street, and at 10 a.m. Wall Street time, we get fresh economic data with the ISM Factory Index. Economists say American manufacturing probably expanded at a slower pace in October. They're forecasting a drop to a reading of 59. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
There's a wild card rolling into today's factory report, merchandise trade, the impact of White House tariffs, and China's retaliation. Bloomberg Economics says we could get a fuller look when the data are released. In September, the ISM factory index fell to 59.8. A month earlier, hit a 14-year high of 61.3. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinnie, thank you. S&P futures pointing to a higher open on Wall Street this first morning of November, ahead by 14 points, a gain of 0.5%. Dow futures also a 0.5% higher, or 139 points. NASDAQ futures up 34. That is a gain of nearly 0.5%. Coming up, the morning call brought to you by Columbia Bank. With 48 locations across New Jersey, you're never far from their wide range of banking solutions. From personal to business banking, mobile and online, you can always count on Columbia. Visit ColumbiaBankOnline.com.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning. I'm John Tucker, the Bloomberg Newsroom. And this Bloomberg Business Flash, we're being brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Use an integrated investment account from Interactive Brokers to earn, borrow, spend, and invest globally from one account. Learn more at IBKR.com. Right now, let's go over to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call with Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, John. U.S. futures are trading higher right now. Dow futures up 141 points. S&P's gained 15, and NASDAQ futures climbed by 34. The U.S. 10 yield at 3.16%. Oil is trading lower, and Japan fell 1.2% overnight. Well, European markets are climbing, led by 1% gains in Germany and Italy. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, non-farm productivity, unit labor costs, and initial jobs claims. At 9:45, market U.S. manufacturing PMI, and at 10 o'clock, construction spending, ISM manufacturing, and prices paid. After the bell last night, AIG posted a surprise Q3 loss. And regarding earnings this morning, Dow DuPont EPS beat estimates, and Cigna beat estimates. Deal news in the energy space, and Encana to buy Newfield Exploration in an all-stock deal. And wrapping things up, Pfizer was downgraded to market perform at BMO, and SeaWorld upgraded to overweight over at KeyBank. Live from the First Break News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. John?
All right, Bill, thanks a lot. Once again, S&P futures up 14, the Dow futures up 138, NASDAQ E-mini futures up 33. We check the markets for you every 15 minutes throughout the trading day right here on Bloomberg. And that is a Bloomberg Business Flash. Time now for check on what's going on around the world, and we check in with Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, John. President Trump used the word invasion to describe the caravan of Central American migrants making their way north to the U.S. border. The president says he's sending 10 to 15,000 American military personnel to protect the southern U.S. border. Some Google employees are planning to walk out from their jobs. It could happen today. According to people familiar with the matter, they're dissatisfied with the CEO's response to a report about the company's handling of alleged sexual harassment by executives. In sports in the NBA, the Knicks lost, the Nets won along with the Warriors. In Thursday night football, the 49ers host the Raiders. And finally, Nathan, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, Boston held its victory parade for the World Series champs.
Right.
Congrats. But some Red Sox fans need a talking to. Red Sox manager Alex Cora and a bystander were hit by some parade goers throwing full cans of beer.
What?
Yeah. another full can hit the team's championship trophy and damaged the flags on it. You can see video of it.
Yeah.
One bystander suffered a gash on their nose. Nathan, police say six people were arrested at the parade.
Yeah, I've seen the video of that gash in that bystander's nose as well, Michael. I've got four words for Red Sox fans. Don't throw the beer.
Act like you've been there. You've been there.
Right.
Oh,
yeah, four times this century. Come on.
Oh, man. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. I'll never throw my beer. This
Indeed.
Is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it is 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Among the top stories in our nation's capital, White House Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow joins AOL founder Steve Case for a discussion on small business at the Washington Post this morning. Former Treasury Secretary Jack Lew discusses the use of sanctions at an Atlantic Council event. And President Trump gets a briefing on election security this afternoon at the White House before he heads to Columbia, Missouri tonight for another midterm campaign rally. And the president just this morning is making some new comments on the midterms in a new interview with the Christian Broadcasting Network. For more on that, we're joined live by Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Kate, the excerpt of this interview just went online moments ago, really. What's the president saying?
So this is Trump, again, kind of amplifying the message he's brought to the campaign trail over the past several days and plans to continue to bring to the campaign trail between now and Tuesday as he barnstorms the country. And basically what he's saying is that he thinks that his party, the Republicans, are going to have a very good shot at keeping control of the Senate. In fact, he says he thinks they're going to, and he's not willing to necessarily concede the point yet that Democrats are going to take control of the House. So it's Trump sounding very confident, very Trumpian, sort of heading into the balloting.
Yeah, but as we've talked about, this 11-stop, 8-state blitz that the president's carrying on from now until Tuesday doesn't seem to be positioning him in many of these vulnerable House races that many Republicans are worried about.
Yeah, it seems as though the president is focusing attention more on states that are relevant in terms of the Senate control and Senate races. We're seeing him going today to Missouri. He was in Florida yesterday. He's going to be back there, actually, before Election Day. These are states that are going to be important in terms of governorships and in terms of the Senate. And so it looks as though that's really where the White House is focusing its energy. And I think it's important to put Trump's comments kind of in a bit of context here, where he expresses confidence that they're going to keep control of the Senate. There's a way of looking at that in which, that was always kind of assumed to be a given the electoral landscape this year. It heavily, heavily favors Republicans. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that, the president is asserting that that's something they're still going to be able to do, even though he's saying it very confidently, the fact that that's even a question, I think, is significant and worth noting.
Yeah, it's a good point. And, talk as well of whether Republicans might gain seats in the Senate after Tuesday. But the president's comments notwithstanding this morning, there's some analysis that our Bloomberg journalists are looking at about how deregulation of banks could be affected if Democrats do take control of the House. Could we see more of a rollback of bank regulations, or could Democrats try to keep some of those in place?
Yeah, I think what's most interesting here is that the analysis sort of concludes that even if Democrats win control of the House, that it's likely that we're going to see continued deregulation in the banking sphere, which is not necessarily what you would think, given people like Elizabeth Warren in the Senate and Maxine Waters, who's chair of the Financial Services Committee in the House, or would be poised to be chair of Financial Services. She's the ranking Democrat now in the House, if the Democrats do take control. So I think it's interesting that, it seems as though kind of digging deeper on its face, you would think there would be a curb in deregulation, but it doesn't look like that's necessarily going to be a hard stop, even if Democrats win control of the House of Representatives.
Yeah, and I guess the reason for that is because, even if the Democrats do take control, it's a co-equal branch, but these agencies are still in the executive branch, and the president holds a lot of sway.
Absolutely. And, I think it's kind of a converse of what we saw during the Obama administration. And in 2010, when Republicans took control of the House, they were able to make some inroads in terms of curbing, the Obama agenda when it came to banking regulations. But they weren't able to do a whole lot until, they won control of the White House 2 years ago.
5 days away. Just checked the calendar, did the counting. Yep, yep, it's just 5 days away already. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thanks as always. And don't forget, you can read more of these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder that you can follow all the latest from Washington on Bloomberg Radio. Just tune into Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. And with those 5 days left till midterm election day Tuesday, we continue to look at some key races to watch. Today, we examine the close contest shaping up in Minnesota. For more on that, we turn to Bloomberg Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli.
I've got my eye on the Minnesota 8th Congressional District, which Republicans are hoping to turn to Republican control for the first time since 1947. That's because Pete Stauber, the Republican, is running against Joe Radinovich, the Democrat. And we're calling this race trumped up on tariffs. Why? Because if you look at the northeastern part of Minnesota, this is what's known as the Iron Range. And now while the business community has been lobbying aggressively against President Trump's proposed tariffs on steel and aluminum imports, here in the Iron Range, it's playing particularly well. And in fact, the president himself campaigned there for Pete Stauber in the summer, as did Vice President Mike Pence. And they recently lifted a rule for copper mines, two copper mines that potentially could go in this particular district, an Obama-era regulation, and Pete Stauber is claiming credit for that. Meanwhile, we should note that 4% of all the jobs in this district are directly tied to the mining industry. Now, for his part, Joe Radinovich is arguing that Republicans are going to cut entitlement programs. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said that that potentially might be on the table for the next Congress. So one to watch, Minnesota 8th Congressional District.
All right. Thanks for that, Bloomberg Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli. We'll continue to check in with Kevin for some of the races he's watching in the March to Tuesday in the midterm election. Tomorrow, we take a close look at the battle shaping up in one district in California, John.
Yes, very important district. Mm-hmm. It is right now 6:57 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, Nathan. You know, the most notable development to the ADP jobs report yesterday was the continued slowdown in hiring at small companies. They only added 29,000 jobs. That's down from the 43,000 in the previous month and from the recent peak of 99,000 registered last year. Now, Bloomberg economist Elena Shalitova says it's not like they don't want to hire, they just can't find workers.
And it seems like it's a supply issue because small business owners simply cannot compete with large companies when it comes to attracting new workers.
In this tight labor market, small business owners have fewer resources to lure workers. A slowdown in job creation among small firms seems consistent with the latest NFIB survey data, which indicates companies' severe problems finding qualified workers. And that is the Bloomberg Small Business Report. And ahead of the market open on Wall Street, S&P futures, they're up 14 points. A reminder, Apple earnings after the close of regular trading. Now, tomorrow, we're going to speak with Gene Munster, the analyst on Apple's earnings. That's at 5:15 on Wall Street. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.